indeed blessed of God to be in the house of God at this particular time and with our friend and brother in Christ, this multi-talented and multi-phased preacher of the gospel who can do so many things. And we thank God for his spirit and for his energy that allows him to worship and to praise and to direct and to bring into focus, clear focus, what God would have you to hear from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Our good friend, the Right Reverend Honorable Dr. Landis Fisher. Amen. 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 Let us, if you would, I would, in for time's sake, and ask you to turn with me. Most of you already have it on your sheet that has been handed out. I would like to read that, beginning at the Romans, the first chapter, and I want to start at verse number 26. Romans, the first chapter, verse number 26. On the second page of your handout is where we would begin. In actuality, I've tried to encompass the whole entirety of that first chapter, but because of time and brevity, I couldn't do all I wanted to do, but just let me do this here a bit. Amen? Amen. Let us read that together, beginning at Romans 1 and 26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You may be seated in the presence of God. And if I may, I would like to title this little text for a few moments here of the time that I will be before you from this title, When God Gives You Up. When God Gives You Up. To our Hope of Glory family who are here, I'm thankful to God that I see them here in numbers and in strength, and we are grateful to God for that fellowship. They're here with us, deacons, ministers, our hospitality sanctuary engineers have acclimated themselves to this sanctuary and they're at work.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for them being here on the door and just all who are here who've made up this great company of Straight Gate and the rest who are here networking from other churches whom I might not know what your affiliation is, but I thank God for your presence today in this wonderful and beautiful sanctuary. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've got some things that we see here we're going to copy. Amen. I'm one step ahead of y'all, ain't I? Amen. Amen. Top twisted on tight. What you say? God bless you. Amen. This is a wonderful and a marvelous opportunity that we have to fellowship, and it seems as if satanic forces are conspiring against us because the fellowship that we've already had at the Hope of Glory, it looked like we picked the worst weather day couple of December, what, 16th, mm-hmm. That it was. And when I woke up this morning, I got out the bed and I walked to the window, as I usually do, and looked out to see what the weather looked like. And it was white, y'all. Everywhere I looked, it was white. I said, Lord have mercy, when did this get here? I said, man, just one old day. But listen, the Lord has us moving anyhow. Amen? Amen. And the little weather was not going to stop us. And thank God for this. I looked over here a minute ago and I saw some folks. How y'all doing? I saw some folks from the old place. Amen. That I remembered. I thank God I'm seeing them, that they're here with Landis, and they are in the hands of a capable and able man of God. I'm trying to filibust so that my last 10 minutes that I normally have to preach, I'm filling up the time until then. Because that's all I'm not planning on holding you. Yet. I'm not, the daughter looking all surprised. I'm not going to hold you that long, darling. I'm just going to talk about what I know. Amen. And all I know about is Jesus. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. I like that story. That story has filtered down through the generations and through the ages. And because of that story, we are what we are.
All right.
So many of us can say, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, tell me where would we be? If you wouldn't mind, I would ask that you would indulge me just a few moments longer. I have a habit of mine that, especially in occasions and situations like this, I have the Message version of this same text. And I want to read the Message version of the same text because I believe that it brings out a couple of other points that we want to attack on this afternoon that allow us to peer more closely into the Word of God. In the Message version, it says, so God said, in effect, if that's what you want, then that's what you get. I'm starting at verse number 26. It wasn't long before they were living in a pig pen, filthy and smeared and covered with the slime of the pig pen. They were filthy inside and out. And all of this because they traded the worship of the true and the one God for a fake God. They worshiped the God they made instead of the God that made them. The God we bless and the God we glorify. Oh, yes. But then worse followed. Refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human anymore. Women didn't know how to be women. And men didn't know how to be men. Sexually confused, they abused and defiled one another. Women with men, women with women rather, and men with men. All lust and no love. And then they paid for it. And oh, how they paid for it. Emptied of God, godless and loveless wretches. Since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God didn't bother to acknowledge them. But let them run loose, wild and crazy. And then, I like this part. And then all hell broke loose. It's right there, I didn't make it up. Rampant evil. Grabbing and grasping, vicious backstabbing. They made life hell on earth with their envy, wanton killing, bickering and cheating. Look at them. Mean-spirited, venomous, fork-tongued, God-bashers, bullies, swaggerers, insufferable windbags. They keep inventing new ways to do evil. They ditch their parents when their parents get in the way. Stupid. I didn't make that up. It's right there. That's the word. Stupid, slimy, creepy, evil. And they know perfectly well they're spitting in God's face. And they don't care. And worse than that, they take pleasure in those and hand out prizes to those who do the worst things best. That's That's an awful indictment.
Yes, it is.
On the condition of humanity. I say indictment because Paul here was in a courtroom stage. Paul was arguing and from a scholarly standpoint, trying to get the Jews to understand their condition. Knowing then, of course, that he was in that Roman and pagan and culture and empire, and he had to fight against all that they had already been ingrained with. Paul was fighting, and some folks think that we're in a brand new battle and we're in a brand new fight. No, 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 baby, listen. Everything that's going on now was already going on then.
That's right. Amen.
Like they used to say on Dragnet, ain't nothing changed but the names to protect the innocent. Well, in this case, some things have changed, but then again, some things have remained the same. Paul was trying to tell them, and he showed us that man started out good. Man started out on the high plane, but instead of evolving, as they say, it's not evolution, it's de-evolution, because man started out good and high, but he ended up low. Man started out at the top, but man ended up at the bottom because he refused to accept what God had already done. I'm telling you, there's a danger, and we ought to be cringing in our seats to have even the thought that God would give us up. I know as a preacher pastor, I'm supposed to tell you about the prosperity of God. I'm supposed to tell you that whatever you want, name it and claim it and grab it and grab it, and God will give it to you. I know I'm supposed to tell you that God loves you so much that he will never, ever do anything wrong to you. I know I'm supposed to tell you that, but listen, I got sad news for all you secure Christians. God gets tired of your mess sometimes. Am I helping somebody? Some folks think they can go along their whole life and misuse the grace and the goodness of God. But sometimes, and there comes a time when God says, enough is enough. I must have some witnesses up in this house. You know, by the way, those of you who have not heard me preach, loan me a couple of amens in my last 13 and a half minutes, and I'll give them back to you when I get through. This text here, Paul starts going and he gives us, I've got some transforming points the Reverend Fisher wrote down for us. And the first one is intelligence. Man started out knowing God. Oh yeah, he had a relationship with God in the garden, didn't he? God talked to him. God walked with him. God gave him instructions. God gave him dominion. God gave him authority and power. But yet man decided to even then reject God in his knowledge. I'm trying to help y'all understand that it's not a new thing where men reject God. It started in the garden. We don't need to blame Eve too much, because Adam and Eve both had a part and a hand in that.
That's right.
Here is where at the beginning is, because men said, listen, I'd rather listen to a lie than listen to the truth. Can I take a sip? Roxy, can I take a Men always want to substitute the real thing. Come on now, how many Pepsi drinkers I got in here? And y'all know Pepsi was a substitute for Coke. And Coke was the
real thing.
You see, men always want stuff dressed up the way they want. What do you mean, preacher? Well, very early there, their intelligence was that God had given them authority, God had given them dominion, God had given them power, and God had blessed them. But guess what? That wasn't enough. Have y'all ever, your mama, or big mama and them left you at the house? And Big Mama and Mama and them said, listen, you can do this, you can eat this, and you can go here, and you can turn on the TV, you can do, but don't touch.
All right.
And as soon as Mama closed the door, all the good things they said we could have, we shot right past them. And went to the one thing that she said we couldn't have.
It's in your nature to be ugly. Don't let nobody fool you. Nobody has to teach you how to be disobedient. You are disobedient from the get-go. Straight out the gate. Did I say straight out the gate? Straight out the gate. You will defy God. But I found out that I didn't get stupid just by being born stupid. I got stupid when I decided that I knew more than God. Can I help somebody? The definition of ignorant, and I did not say ignorant, I said ignorant. The definition of ignorant is knowing what God wants you to do and defying what God wants you to do anyhow. Our intelligence sometimes gets us in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been to the point where you think you know so much? And come to find out you don't really know nothing at all? Because you know what? Man always wants to feel superior to somebody else. But here the problem is, instead of them bowing in submission to God, they wanted to make their own way. What happened? Well, I got to go back to the garden. You see, when the serpent talked to Eve, she said, if you take of this fruit, ye shall be as gods. Which was partly true, but it was twisting what God had said. My brothers and my sisters, the age-old problem of us is that we are all working towards God giving us up because we all want to have our own way and make our own way instead of submitting unto God. Paul, can I ask Paul for another illustration? Paul said, my brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They have gone about seeking to establish their own righteousness. I find it hard to believe that men want to work outside of the framework of God. They have no point of reference. They have no framework of themselves, and they want to establish their own rights. How can you do that? You know what happens? Well, listen, it's in the book of Judges. The last verse in the book of Judges. I tell you what happens when men try to make their own framework. I tell you what happens when men try to make their own righteousness. The Bible says in the last book, line of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You talk about a world that's topsy-turvy. You just wait until everybody decides that they can do what they want to do. If it feels good, do it. Because I ain't hurting nobody. But my brothers and my sisters, it is not a mark of intelligence to be disobedient. I believe we have to have an understanding here of what it is. It's simply rebellion.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what's not written in your Old Testament scripture? That last part there in 1 Samuel. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? Look at that last verse. God says this. Since you have rejected me, I'm going to reject you being king over Israel. What's the pattern that God is setting here? God does not run after you and beg you to come over on his side.
I hope
I ain't busting nobody's bubble.
Yeah.
God doesn't run up behind you. Oh, please be a Christian. Come on. I'll make everything right for you. I'll give you stuff. Come on. No, God doesn't do that. God lays the choice out for you and choose you this day.
Yes,
whom you will serve. Our intelligence sometimes gets us in the way. But then after that, verses 21 through 23, ignorance comes into play.
Well,
ignorance comes into play because man doesn't want to know God, to worship something.
Yes.
Did y'all know that? If there wasn't no God, we'd have met one.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, some folk have done that.
Yes, sir.
Because God created us for worship. Y'all ain't digging this. God didn't create us just to look good. Do y'all know what hardwired means? That computer is hardwired. It has a motherboard and has inside, and it's got things that it was designed and created to do. We were designed and created to worship God. The reason we are restless, the reason we are fitful, the reason we are flitting around like moths is because when we are not settled and focused on what God created us for, everything else comes flooding in. I tell you, you want to know some joy? I tell you some real joy in my last 10 minutes. Here's real joy. Here's real joy. Real joy is getting back to doing what we were created to do. I find joy, I find joy in being a worshiper who worships the God that created me. I find joy even in the midst of evil and harmful circumstances. And everything don't have to be going right, but as long as I realize I've still got a God on my side. As long as I know that greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. As long as I know I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. As long as I know that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I find joy in knowing that the false God can't help me. The false God can't be bread in a starving land. A false God can't be a sun on my left and shade on my right. The false God can't follow me with goodness and mercy all the days of my life. The false God can't be a mother for me. When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The false God won't soothe my doubts. The false God won't calm my fears. The false God. God. God told them that you can have what you want to have. Have you ever noticed sometime that, have you ever tried this, parents? Have you ever tried this? Have you ever told your child, listen, don't eat that many green apples. Because they'll make you sick. Have you ever noticed that your child was doing the exact opposite of what you told him to do? And instead of you arguing or getting out that belt, because now that y'all can't get the belt out because that child is you, but you get the belt out, instead of doing that, you say, okay, I'm going to sit back in the cut and I'm going to let him eat as many green apples as they want. God looked at these folk, and these folk refused to, and listen, as a matter of fact, they turned what God had said was the truth into a lie. And then you know what happens at that point? Self-indulgence takes over. Do y'all know what happens when you are so when you're so determined to feel good? Yeah, act like I must be on up in here by myself. I found out when all I wanted to do was feel good. I must be up in here by myself. Let me repeat that. I found myself at a time in my life when all I wanted to do was feel good. And you know, I felt good for a hot minute.
All right, say
that. But after the feel good wears off, what do you got? You ain't got about nothing. I know that's bad English, but I only got 7.5 minutes left so I can talk like I want to talk. When you only have something that's feeling good for you, it will only last a little while. But listen, I've got something permanent. I've got a joy unspeakable. I've got something that the world didn't give. And the world can't take away. Because of what He has done for me already, I'm so glad. I'm glad I got a praying church. I'm glad that God has brought me. And I'm glad that God has not given me up. My brothers and my sisters, let me stick a pin here. He said God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Do y'all know what a reprobate mind is? Do you know what depravity is? Depravity is the inability to form and make good judgment.
That's right.
Now, listen. I want to stick a pin here as well. I heard a preacher years ago talk about AIDS and HIV. And he said, see, AIDS and HIV, that's God's punishment for homosexuality. And now that's why they got AIDS and that's why they got HIV. But listen. The text is not telling us that they got AIDS because they were homosexual. The punishment is that they were homosexual because God had already given them up. That's punishment. AIDS is just a peripheral punishment. Can I help somebody? God, the worst thing that happened is that when God gives you up, you out there all alone. Y'all watch Animal Planet or Discovery Channel? Y'all watch that? I like Animal Planet and I like the Discovery Channel. I used to like the little guy, the crazy boy that got stuck with the fish.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, crikey, that's a good one. I watch sometimes how when the lion is out hunting, the lioness, she doesn't go to the middle of the herd and get the strongest, fattest antelope with the longest, pointy antelope things. When she starts chasing the antelope, she picks off the scraggler. She picks off the one that is weak and can't run as fast and don't have enough sense to run in the same direction as the rest of the herd. That's the one she gets. And you guess what, y'all? Satan is the same way. The Bible said that he's like a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he will. Am I in the book or am I just playing? He said it. He said, because listen, the devil can't pick you off when you're with the herd. That's why the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit and the custom of some is. I hear folk all the time, I don't need to go to church. The preacher ain't nothing but a pimp. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that make your mama? Mm-hmm. If she belonged to that church, what does that make your mama? The preacher ain't nothing but a pimp.
Bye-bye.
What does that make your sister? People get out of church for the dumbest reasons. And you know what? Satan is glad. For whatever reason, your dumb self is sitting outside where he can get you. He just is happy because now here you are alone. You don't have fellowship. You don't have discipleship. You don't have worship. All you are is out there all by yourself.
That's right. Amen.
Am I helping somebody? Will you look at the time?
Take your time.
My final point. I looked at the text and I looked at the text and just before we got to that list, the list, which is extensive, it's not the only list. There's another list in Acts, there's another list in Ephesians, there's another list. But the 28 through 32 tells me that men, not only were they hard-headed, they were just plain outright dumb. Because it seems as if you had been watching your life unravel before your eyes, and you have been watching yourself go down from one level to another, slowly degrading and getting worse and worse, it seems like you would repent.
All right.
But you know what happens? Instead of repentance, folk get worse. Instead of crying out to God and asking God for forgiveness, you go the exact opposite way, and it gets worse and worse and darker and darker. My brothers and my sisters, I'm here to tell you that you ought not to want to be in a position where God will give you up. You ought to always want to be in fellowship. You ought to always want to be in the presence and the company of God. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in the house of the Lord for a little while than to live with the wicked for a season. I'd rather cast my lot with this raggedy band of the redeemed than to go with the world. I'd rather suffer the darts and the slings and arrows of outrageous misfortune rather than live a life of prosperity and ease. I'd rather be laughed at and talked about. I'd rather stay with God because I found out that if I've got God, I've got everything. I may not have, I'm trying to hush y'all, houses and land. I may not have a jewelry and clothes and a house out in Chesterfield. But oh, thank God, I found out that late one Thursday evening, 1983, on the backside of a desert in Las Vegas, Nevada, I found God. I've been rising, I'm trying to hush y'all, and I've been falling. I've been up and I've been down, sometimes almost level to the ground. But I found out that God is still with me. And if God is with you, He is more than the world that is against you. But wait a minute, did I give you all the bad news and didn't tell you the good news? I gave you the bad news that you would become backbiters and implacable and truth breakers and disobedient and haters of men and arguers and fussers and fight. Did I tell you that part? That's the bad news, ain't it? But did I tell you the good news? The good news is I know somebody that if I'm sliding and on my way to hell, He can break and He can stop my descent into hell.
Yes, sir.
I know somebody.
Yes.
That if God had given me up, all I have to do is call on God. All I have to do is say, "Precious Lord, take my hand."
Yes.
Y'all don't know nothing about that? Yes. Lead me on and let me stay. Preacher, how and who is this precious Lord? He is the Christ. He is the Son of God.
Yes.
He died on Friday.
Yes,
I've got to tell the story.
Yes,
do you know He died on Friday?
Yes.
He died a horrible death on Friday.
Amen.
He died till the moon ran down in blood.
Yes.
He died until the sea gave up its dead. He died until it looked like the earth was a drunken man rocking and a reeling. He died until they took Him down from the cross. They took Him down from the cross and they laid Him in a borrowed tomb. Y'all must know the story. He stayed dead all day Friday. He stayed dead all day Saturday. He stayed dead all night Saturday night. Did Landis tell you I can't hoop? But early. That's all I got. Early. That's hot off the press, dog. Early. Sunday morning. Do you know He got up? No. Do you know He got up? Do you know He got up? I'm not 2,000 years old, but I know He got up. And because He got up, He declared all power. Heaven and in earth,
yes, sir,
is in my hand.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about God giving me up.
Right.
Because the book says, Jesus said, those that You've put in my hand, I've lost none.
That's right.
And can I talk about Ephesians right quick? In my last 30 seconds? He says, "You've been sealed until the day of redemption."
See it.
Y'all remember Grandma used to make preserves?
Uh-huh.
Some of you young folks don't know nothing about that. But when I'm 52, I'm 52, I'm 52. And grandma would boil stuff all day long. We come visit her for the summer. And at the end of the day, she would put that stuff in them jars. The mason jars. And put them jars. I said, Mama, Grandma, won't the glass bust? You putting it back in the water? She put the whole jar back in the water and let it boil some more. But what it was doing, what it was doing was that the pressure from the heat was drawing the cap down tighter on the jar. And what happens is, you can come back, grandma made them preserves for like in around 1961 or something like that. You can come back in 3031 and get you a pair of pliers. Because that's the only way you're going to get that top off. And get that top off. And them pears, peaches, okra, turnip, carrots, beets, whatever it was, tastes like it did the day she put it in there.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? I've been sealed. And when God comes back to get me, God. Job said, no, the skin works. I'm trying to hush. Can I have 15 more seconds? Though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. No matter what happens to this body, God is sealed. The most important part. The most important part of me is not my body.
That's right.
All Isaiah, am I telling the truth? He said, yeah. He said, all flesh is as grass.
That's right.
The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of God shall stand forever. Yes. Fare thee well. Good evening, warriors. If you don't hear from me no more on this side, I just came. Well, I don't know why you're looking at me. I didn't came to stay. Come to stay. I just came to tell you, Jesus is the way.
Amen. Amen.
I've come to tell you that if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to have assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. I wish I could sing, but I can't sing. Come on, sing a song, man. Of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchased of God. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. This is my soul. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Oh, y'all must know this song. All the day long. He's able and He's worthy. And you don't have to step into condemnation. You can step into justification.
That's right.
Y'all know what justification is, don't you? It's just as if I had never seen. Because I found Jesus. And He makes everything all right.
Yes.
The doors of the church are open.
Amen.
Someone may have understood something in the word that says, listen, that's me He's talking about. I've been disobedient and I've been implacable. I've been a truth breaker. I've committed immoral acts and I'm having fun doing it. I think I'm doing it because it feels good. Listen, if that has been you, I hear chains breaking right now. I hear chains and shackles falling to the ground because guess what? You can have freedom right now today. In Christ Jesus. And it's nothing complicated. It's nothing, it doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is believe.
That's right.
And trust God. And God will. Won't He make a way out of no way?
Yes, He will.
Won't He do it? Y'all can't appreciate me because y'all don't know me. But I know me.
All right.
And I remember me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember what me used to be.
All right.
But I thank God that me ain't that no more.
Amen.
Because God is in the saving business. And there's plenty of good room. Plenty of good room. You can come as a candidate for baptism on Christian experience or by faith. Whichever way you come, come knowing that God can cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. He can forgive you of your sins. And he can escort you safely into his kingdom. If you just trust him and let him be your guide.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God, and we marvel at his presence, and we joy in the fact that he has given us an opportunity to live one more day above this ground, and that we can share with someone and network and tell somebody that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.